We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Join late night legend Jon Stewart and the best news team for today's biggest headlines, exclusive extended interviews, and more. Now this is a second term we can all get behind. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, USA!
Yo, 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 yo,
I'm DJ Envy.
And I go by the name of Charlamagne Tha God with the world's most dangerous morning show, The Breakfast Club.
And currently we are on vacation.
But man, totally disconnected.
Yes.
We're not even really here. You think you're listening to us, but we're not.
Well, we are not. We're here in spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're going to be playing some of our top interviews and some throwbacks. So keep it locked. Red is going to be running the boards. And we'll see y'all in the new year. Happy holidays. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
This is your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
So you better have the same energy.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
It's your boy O'Neal from Houston, Texas.
O'Neal from H-Town. What up? Get it off your chest, brother.
Yeah, I want to give a shout-out to my boy DJ Authentic, a.k.a. DJ Envy, on a good season one, episode 8 of East New York. You did your thing, man.
Thank you, brother. You know, I was excited to do that, and they're going to bring me back. I think I'm on the first episode in the new year, and hopefully they bring me back for some other stuff, man. I'm excited about it, man. I love that series. The show is really good if you haven't seen it. It's called East New York. It's on CBS. Great show, and I'm just excited.
He definitely snitching. He's snitching. He definitely going to snitch the next episode.
I held it down the first episode. So
they going to break him.
They ain't breaking me.
Yeah. Well, also, I want to say that hip-hop homicide, that's also good with Pop Smoke.
Man.
It's hip-hop homicide, first of all.
Yeah, I say homicide the same way. Where you from?
I'm from Louisiana, but I stay in Houston.
Yeah, it's a southern thing, I guess, because I say hip-hop homicides, too, but it's homicides. Hey, that's one of the best shows on TV, man. Salute to Van Lathan and 50 Cent, Mona Scott Young.
Yes.
That's one of the best shows on television, man.
Yeah, this week they're going to be diving into the murder of XXXTentacion and
it's Tentacion, isn't it?
I love him.
Tentacion.
Yeah.
And then after that, they're going to do Mo 3 from Dallas. And then they're going to do, damn, I don't want to say his name wrong. FBG Duck,
yeah,
out in Chicago.
Right, I got a feeling they're gonna do one on Takeoff too.
Well, not this year, because those are the last three that they got. XXX is Tanchion, Mo3 and FBG Duck. But like you said, the way that, you know, so many of our hip hop stars are passing and being killed, I mean, this show, it can continue
I like how they do the show, though, because the show addresses, like, all the socioeconomic conditions mm-hmm. that lead to things this happening. They deal with people's trauma. They deal with a lot of these brothers' hurt and anger. So it's not just exploitation of a murder, you know?
Correct. And they talk to the right people. They talk to the right people, the family members, people involved, police officers, special agents, friends, pastors.
Yep.
And then they try to get a solution of why, you know, hopefully this can be solved and stopped and maybe
help. It's a good show, bro. Y'all need to keep watching it. For people that ain't watching, I ain't gonna give too much about it, but hey, it's a good show.
Right, and you can stream it on All Black, and they got all the episodes up there. Shout out to Van Lathan, man. He does an amazing job on that show.
All right, man. Y'all have a good morning.
Peace, King.
Hello, who's this?
Shayna.
Hey, Shayna, get it off your chest.
I just want to thank God for this day.
That's right.
You know, I know. Look, I'm thank God for this day, for this job. I'm so blessed. I'm highly favored. I got my own business. And I just want to just thank God. That's all, guys.
Shayna, you're not just blessed and highly favored. You're blessed, black, and highly favored.
You absolutely right. I am blessed, black, and highly favored. And I just want to thank God for it.
Thank you, ma'am. Mama. Hello, who's this?
Hey, man, what's up? This is Reckless TV. How y'all doing?
What's up, Reckless TV? Get it off your chest.
I wanted to speak about college. I did trade school. I did 2 years for HVAC and electricity, and I can work anywhere in the United States. I'm 23 years old, and nobody's doing trade no more. Everybody's trying to be doctors and lawyers. So right now, trade school is the best thing you can do.
I agree.
After I graduated, my teacher came to me and said I should go for another 4 years, and I'd be guaranteed to make six figures, and I can go anywhere in the United States. Mm-hmm. So trade school is popping right now because ain't nobody really doing it, and everybody needs help with HVAC and air conditioning.
Yeah,
man,
exactly.
I met this guy the other day, I think when I was in D.C., man, he ran up on me and he was like, man, thank you for always talking about trade school, because I went to trade school and I've been gainfully employed for 40 plus years.
There you go.
I forgot what he said he did.
Alex!
What's up?
Get it off your chest, Alex.
What is Envy the Don?
Yes, sir. What's up, bro?
Envy the Don.
My man, what's up, Envy the Don? Got that bread. Jay-Z got that billion, huh?
Yeah, Jay-Z got a billion.
Oh, got a billy.
Got it, Billy. How they did it? Do we learn from Jay or do we learn from Nipsey Hussle? Which one?
You said what?
Do we learn from Nipsey Hussle or do we learn from Jay-Z?
You learn from both of them. You had more than one teacher in school, didn't you?
Yeah, hopefully you learn from a lot of people every day.
What are you talking about? Why y'all say such stupid things? Seriously, why do you wake up in the morning and just like say things that you give no thought to whatsoever? So you only learn from one person throughout your whole life?
Nah, Charlamagne. We ain't got to go like that, Charlamagne.
I'm just saying, you know who Nipsey Hussle learned from? His OGs. He learned from Elijah Muhammad. Message to the black man. Elijah Muhammad was always talking about doing for self and owning your own. So what are we talking about here? We learn from a lot of different people in life.
Don't forget that bag to get that mail.
All right, man. Have a blessed day.
Peace, bro.
y'all just pissing me off this morning. What's up with y'all this morning, man?
They're getting it off their chest, Charlamagne. Let's just let them talk.
They do sound a little stupid this morning. Michael!
Hey, how's it going, brother? Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning, neighbor!
Get it off your chest, Michael.
Yep, I'm calling from Delaware Beach, but I love you guys. I'm always listening to the show. You guys are amazing.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate you so much, man.
You're welcome. Charlamagne the guy, I love you, brother. I appreciate the work and everything, man. We love you, bro.
I love you too, my brother.
Thank you.
Appreciate you, King.
Get it off your chest. The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
But it's not your house. You got to give people directions. You know what I'm saying? You got to be like, hey, y'all grab that, bring that over here. Or just bring a big trash bag out and open it up.
Yeah, you got to make people clean up before they leave. While they're still there, they should be cleaning the whole time.
People should do that anyway. You should have to tell people that.
You should have came to my house. I've been doing this for 30 years. Like, yeah. I want to just get up and leave, too.
No, you're right.
Well, you got to start calling your family members out. You got to start saying their names, Jazz.
I mean, yeah, you're right. You wasn't there. You left at 2 p.m. Your kid left. I'm tired of doing this by myself. I'm calling y'all out.
You can't let them leave, bro. That was your first mistake. You let them leave.
Should have let them go. Hello, who's this?
Yo, this is AJ. Evie.
AJ, what up? Get it off your chest.
Man, my ex is trifling, bro.
What happened, brother?
Well, guess what? She is getting married this month, and we had sex.
Sounds like you trifling, too.
Congratulations to her, though.
Nah, I guess I'm not. The crazy thing is, she was like, oh, we can get a hotel, blah, blah, blah. But you're getting married and you're cheating on your
first of all, don't judge. Yeah, don't judge her because it takes two. Okay? Don't judge her. And that was her little last hurrah before she jumped the broom. All right?
Nah. Do you want her back?
It sounds like you do.
You're an accessory to the infidelity, sir. You're an accessory to the crime.
Guess what? Let me tell you something.
Uh-oh.
If you're getting married, why would you want to cheat on yourself?
Yeah, I feel like you only did this just so you can say this.
How did you turn this into the side piece? How did you turn into the side piece after being the main?
Well, we were together for 2 years, and then we started parting our ways, all arguments, fights, cheating, and I was like, nah. It was too much for me, so I called it off. Mm-hmm. And then she got into a whole new relationship with this new guy.
I'm happy for her.
He's hurt.
You get to do it.
Do you miss her?
No, I don't.
You lying, man.
Man, get off my phone, man.
Don't trust these females, bro.
Are you gonna tell her husband, her fiance?
Nope.
Okay. Well, then why'd you call this morning? You got it off your chest and that was done. You never have to talk about it again?
Nah, it's not worth it.
All right. Okay.
You petty, bro.
I'm sorry, sir.
Yeah, I guess I am.
Yes, you are. Have a blessed day.
He's hurt, man.
Black man, don't trust these females.
Man, what? Shut up. Black man, don't trust
these females. What is wrong with him?
He's really hurt. He came off your chest. 800-585-1051.
That's a Black Man Don't Cheat remix. Black men don't trust these females.
I bet you he called a husband. I won't bet. I bet you next week he'll be like, I call a husband. I bet you. Get it off your chest. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often, those of us who don't fit into this dumb, stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
She's breathing right now?
Yes, she's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, A Story of California Corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. I'm Abby, a mother of two, and I had these battles myself. Endless excuses, delay tactics, and many tears and tantrums. But I've created a solution. The perfect kids podcast that makes bedtime a dream. It's called Koala Moon, and it's hosted by me, Abby. With over 300 episodes, packed with original stories and sleep meditations, Koala Moon makes bedtimes easy and enjoyable. Episodes start out engaging and really rather magical, but as they progress, they gently slow to a calm and relaxing pace to have your little ones out like a light. Since launching in 2022, Koala Moon has helped with over 20 million nights sleep and received over 6,000 five-star reviews. Win back your evenings. Listen to Koala Moon now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
Our guy.
Nick Cannon.
We here.
All right, the streets say Nick No Condom Cannon.
That's right.
Is that what they say?
Nick,
the fertilizer.
The
fertilizer. How many kids do you want, Nick? How
many do you want? Man, honestly, somewhere 10 to 12, I wouldn't be
Why
mad
so
at
many? It. Just
yeah, you got so many, too.
I got five and one on the way, so I'm going to have six, but I'm stopping it.
Really?
I'm stop.
Are you sure? Is it the beauty of fatherhood, man, when you really talk about like the essence of living in as a father, too, man? I've learned so much just Absolutely. From my children, man. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's so amazing. And I really just love being around my kids and just that youthful energy. It feels like you get to relive every time. And
all I think, the time. I love that.
And I think because, you know, I've been through so much in my life, you know, physically, mentally, and spiritually, like the best place that I find is the time that I spend with my kids and the energy, and to get as much of that as possible to pass on, you know, all that I've lived into something else. That's why I do it, man.
It's not the number of kids, though. I guess people question the different baby mothers. That's what
But why
is.
Do people question that? That's a Eurocentric concept when you think about the ideas of, like, it's, you're supposed to have this one person for the rest of your life. And really, that's just to classify property when you think about it. I mean, like, when you go into that mindset, if we really talk in that talk, like, just the idea that a man should have one woman. We shouldn't have anything. I have no ownership over this person. Like, if we're really talking about how we coexist and how we populate, it's about what exchange can we create together. So all women are the ones that open themselves up to say, I would like to allow this man in my world, and I will birth this child. Mm-hmm. So it ain't my decision. I'm following suit. So
the women, the women
I respect that,
that
game you
though.
Running on them no, ladies. No, no, wow, no. Nick, that's what you spitting? That's the dream you selling?
True,
wow.
So the women that
they're the ones that are making the choice.
So the true. Women you have to in a relationship with, they don't mind that you.
Every woman that I deal with or dealt with, they know how I feel, and it usually is a concept. Like I'm not going around like I'm gonna impregnate next. Like nah, it's usually scenarios and like that's the thing. People say certain things in the mm-hmm. public, but when you really look at how a family infrastructure is designed, the woman is the one that always leads and makes the decision.
I agree wholeheartedly. Right. I say that all the time. I say that we had to do some real societal brainwashing to make people believe that men were the actual leaders.
Women lead. And in every scenario that I've had, I step back and say, how do you want to do this?
Well, I heard people say that they think you having all these kids with different women is selfish because you can't possibly give the time to all of the different kids.
Every single one of my kids, I'm at every basketball game, at every martial arts practice. And people don't understand how I do it, but that's literally my children are my priority. Mm-hmm. It's all about being present. And I always say, for all of those people that say, man, there's no way he can do it, I sit back and watch.
You think it's a coincidence that Nick Cannon is NC and No Condom is NC? You think that is a coincidence or is that divine?
I like that. Contrary to popular belief, I do wear condoms.
That's a damn lie.
Listen, what reason do we have to believe that?
And don't put out the condom name because nobody going to use those condoms.
Yes. Matter of fact, what is the brand name?
Tell that brand.
So they can be discontinued.
I keep the gold packs with me. But the
well, you need to stop wearing them. They're a little baggy. Something's slipping out.
Magnums be breaking though. They do.
Okay, so let's go through this process.
Let's talk.
Every relationship starts off with a condom.
Yes,
correct.
Then once you feel like you get the there's trust.
It's comfortable.
And then once, however, that first slippage of either you didn't have it, the condom breaks, something, you was in the shower and it slipped it or whatever, and like, all right, well, we done crossed this threshold now.
So we don't need them no more.
So you know how it feels now. And then that's why I say no children are ever accidents, because if we make the conscious effort of stepping up and having
unprotected sex, you know the consequences.
You're preparing to have a child.
Correct.
So anybody I ever had unprotected sex with, I knew, okay, this is someone I wouldn't mind creating life with. Mm-hmm. I'm under the right sober state of mind every mm-hmm. time I go into any sexual activity.
But some of your kids are close to the same age, so that means you slinging with no condoms to a couple of girls.
Now, as someone who has to see the doctor because of my other
ailments,
yeah, and I probably got a little careless with that because I'm STD checking every week because I get my blood taken every week because of lupus. Mm-hmm. So I usually know where I'm at, and I also...
What about the young lady, though?
Usually know. So, and in that scenario, she knows what it is. If someone suggests using a condom, of course, that's what we doing.
Do you think you might come back and be like, no, I do want to be with one person?
When you talk about marriage, you're talking about the business of marriage, because marriage is a business. It's a contract, mm-hmm. right?
I mean, I think it's a soul tie, too. I mean, when you find the right person.
That's a covenant. But I'd much rather have someone as a companion for life. I'm not moved by sex. I don't make decisions off of sex. I probably have some of the closest people in my life when it comes to women that I'm not sexually active with. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I tell off top, if it's about your vagina, we can take that off the table from the gate. Mm-hmm. Because now I can really get to know you, because now clearly the world knows I have enough access to vaginas. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So let me really break down where we at with this. So I feel like some of my strongest relationships with women going, I mean, we in our 40s now, like, mm-hmm. like later on in life, and shoot, ain't even working the way it is.
You gonna need that one. You gonna need that one to hold you down.
Yeah, you gonna be like, who can I go to the movies with? Mm-hmm. I'd rather focus on in that direction than figure out who can I solely have sex with for mm-hmm. one. I'm not moved by that. So like, again, those constructs don't really. I don't think about that.
All right, we got more with Nick Cannon when we come back. Don't move. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Nick Cannon.
Versus. Mariah Carey. Who would you love to see Mariah Carey go against?
First of all,
I thought you were about to ask Nick if he going to do a versus. I'm like, stop.
Come on, man.
Why you always hitting on him, man? He hates my music.
I will always be an interrogator about your music.
Yeah, you got okay. Definitely interrogator. You know, and I will get to that too. You know, the thing about my music is like, it's funny to me because rhyming words ain't hard. Now, to be a great artist, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now we want to talk about that. I'm here to be the best artist I can be. And I think when it's all said and done, when I'm gone, I'm like, oh, that could get down a little bit. That actually was talented.
Not for music. Everything else. I mean, everything. When I say everything else, everything
else. No, hold up. Let's talk this to Charlamagne real quick. Are we saying, because I'll give you one of the other. Are we saying rap or music?
I've only heard you rap. What was the other?
Okay, say less. You never seen me play guitar?
No. You talk about, I saw the piece you did with, what was the sister's name?
Kiara Shear.
Mm-hmm. That was dope.
I grew up in a church, Charlamagne.
Yeah.
I could pick up any instrument in a church and play it.
He's judging you off a gigolo.
Gigolo on fire. Gigolo. Okay.
I like gigolo.
Okay, how hard you say the words? You ain't gonna make that song. Like, no more fire.
You didn't like Can I Live, me and Anthony Hamilton? Me and Kanye produced it.
I don't even remember that record. I remember Jay-Z, Can I Live?
Yo, shut up, man. Back to Mariah Carey, man.
Versus.
Versus.
He's going to hate on me forever, and I love it because it's my friend. I need this
just
challenge.
In the music. I support Nick in everything else he does.
So Wildin' Out ain't music?
Oh, Wildin' Out's fire.
I produce every beat on that show. Every song you've heard, I wrote it.
Even when they be doing like the songs, like the...
Who makes the beat? Where do you think the beat came from? Every song, every music, everything you hear, I make. On the spot sometimes.
Okay.
Tell me about that. That ain't jiggalo.
Anything sonically that's ever come out of why I've made myself.
Wow. Okay.
What do you say now?
I support him in everything he does, except for his rap career. I love Wildin' Out. Who doesn't love Wildin' Out? Wildin' Out is a classic staple in our culture.
Dizzy Van Winkle.
And every time you came on Wild Out, I bodied you in the freestyle. Definitely. Let's go to verse.
No, I had one good. I had a good ball one time.
The Lil Weezy joint. My kids didn't look like me or some.
It was you the Birdman of TV, and you need to pay all your Lil Weezy.
Oh yeah, that was a ball.
Who wrote that?
Me off the top.
That's a lie.
Off the top.
So back to verse.
Yes.
Who could go against Mariah? Only person who has the level of talent. And this would have never happened. The level of talent and hits.
Whitney Houston.
No. Because Mariah writes. That's why people got to understand. Mariah's a musician.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not impressed by people who can perform songs that it took 30 people to make with you.
That's a lot of people, though.
That's Michael Jackson. They can't stab it at somebody. But
no, for real. That's Michael Jackson. That's Beyonce. No,
exactly.
That's Rihanna.
The greatest are the ones who can... You can put somebody in a room by their damn self and they come out with a hit. That's why shouts out to Stevie Wonder, the greatest artist. No one could ever do a versus with him. And he was one of the real ones that called me. That's like close friends. And he and I have this conversation. There's a different level.
What did you say? I see what's going on with you, Nick. I
really want to FaceTime me all the time. I was like, who is this for? Stevie, me or you?
Is he looking at the phone when he FaceTime me?
He's so funny. He be like, yo, I'm driving. I got to go. I can't be driving and talking about at the same time. No, but I'm impressed by artists like that. So only person in this day and age that could have gone against Mariah Carey because she writes all of her songs. She actually produces all of her songs. She puts the songs together and performs them at a high level. R. Kelly. I've actually watched Mariah write out lyrics and say, I'm going to go put this to something. And then when you can perform it at a 6-octave level,
you know
what I mean? And that's what I watched R. Kelly do the same thing. He's when you think about the level of hits that he penned and put together, other than Gigolo, because don't think it was a hit. But
I mean, it was a hit. I just,
Yeah, with it.
Let's play it right now. You want to play Gigolo?
I got bars in it. Nick, I was like, call me the Scarecrow. I'm looking for some brain. That's a bar.
Nick, we appreciate you for joining us. Let's go.
We're
going to play Gigolo.
No, you're not. Now I don't even want to hear it.
No, we're going to play it.
It was 20 years ago.
No, but Nick, no, for real, salute to Nick. You got to give Nick his flowers, man. We don't celebrate Nick enough in our culture for everything that Nick does for black people. He keeps black people employed. He's put out a lot of black talent out here in this culture over the years.
That's right.
This isn't nothing new. So
we just getting started.
And I know you're just getting started. So we got to salute Nick Cannon. We do not give Nick Cannon his flowers enough, man. We really don't.
Appreciate y'all.
So let's do it. Nick Cannon.
Don't give me no flowers. Plant some seeds.
Ooh.
Okay.
Bars.
It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
It's topic time. Call 800-585-1051 to join into the discussion with The Breakfast Club.
Talk about it.
Yep, it's the world's most dangerous morning show, The Breakfast Club, and we are talking about money this morning. Where did it come from, you?
This comes from Heart to Heart. Kevin Hart sat down with Jay-Z on his show, and he was talking about issues that he's had when it comes to family, friends, and money. Listen to this.
And how money can come between friends. You know, we haven't had money for a long time, so we don't know how to, we're not professionals at navigating how to communicate. from that space. Absolutely. Some people haven't evolved past 16. They still stuck in that place. But you evolving every year. Mm-hmm. So that may be a threat to them. Mm-hmm. You have cousins. You got to go home for Thanksgiving and people are talking to you like Kevin Hart. And you going home for solace. You want family.
You're going home for peace of mind.
You're going home for peace of mind.
And they don't give you that your because cousin you're not. You're not
your cousins in your grandma's living room saying, yo, man, I got this play. I want to, if you just give me, you know what I mean? $4,800, I could make you $2 million. You yeah. like, it don't work like yeah. that, fam. You got to explain to him, like, life isn't like that.
Mm. All right. Good morning, Gene.
Good morning.
So you had this problem yourself?
Yes, I have. First off, good morning, Angela Lee. Good morning, Charlamagne.
Peace, King.
Yeah, so pretty much I've had that issue when I was younger that I always wanted to help the family, but I had to learn that you can't pour from a cup that's half empty. You got to make sure that your blessings are overflowing before you start helping other people.
Right.
And you have to be able to discern when to say yes and when to say no.
Right.
Because you put yourself in the bind.
I never want to feel mad or bitter that I did something, like that I helped somebody, you know, that needed it. So I don't want to put myself in that position. But we're not friends anymore now because mm-hmm. you asked for something. I gave it to you. You made a promise to me and then couldn't fulfill that side of the promise. But I don't like when people also borrow money and then never bring it up again.
Exactly. Like, you give, and a lot of times what I do, if I give to somebody, I don't expect it back.
Yeah.
But if you're going to give it back, then I expect you to give it back. Like, don't tell me you're going to give it back if you're not. Like, if you just need it and can't get it back, just say, hey, I'm not going to be able to pay you back, but I really need this right now.
That's right.
All right. Well, thank you. You're a good man.
Yes. All right. Y'all have a blessed day.
You too.
I tell you something else, too, man. Sometimes you can be paying someone. You can be giving them money, making sure they're eating. They might blow the money. And then feel like you should be giving them more to blow. Like, they feel like they don't even have to do the right thing with their money because they think that you're always going to be giving it to them.
Yeah, or sometimes you do a lot for somebody and you give them money all the time. And then one time you say no, all of a sudden you're yep. the worst person in the world. They forget yep. all the other great things that you did because you said no one time.
Yep.
All right, good morning. Who's this?
Good morning. This is Dove. How
Dove.
You
What's up, Dove?
Not much. How are you?
I'm good. So what's up with your money issues?
Oh, man. My boy, man. He was my boy, man. Let him meet my kids. I met his kids. And we used to work together. And I let him borrow money because he told me he needed to re-up. And I let him borrow money. And then my car broke down. So I needed a car real quick. I bought a car with him. A week later, the tranny went. And I put money into it. And I'm like, yo, just give me back $100. That's it. He's like, all right, I got you. Didn't mean to run around ever since. And it's like, and then you want to be on social media flashing money. It's like, bro, you owe me $100. What are you doing?
That's the worst when somebody owe you money and they on social media doing it up.
Flashing it. So I'm like, you know what? It is what it is. Like, I already let you borrow money. Like, you know, God bless me. So I'm not tripping over $100, but I'm just going to cut you off. It is what it is.
Now, Dove, is tranny short for transmission?
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
I just wanted to check when you, okay.
I knew what you meant, sir. I mean, I used context clues. You talked about a car.
That's I just it. Never heard that.
What's good,
I'm good, brother.
Hey, you know how long I've been trying to get in contact for this number?
We appreciate you, brother.
Yeah, glad you made it. Can we borrow some money?
Unless you borrow, let me hold time.
Bye.
I don't even need nothing. Just follow me on the gram at C to God. CTHAGOD.
All right. Well, that is.
Well, we got to give a moral of the story, man. And the moral of the story for me is no. N-O period. No is a complete sentence, and you have to use your own discernment when it comes to who you loan money to. And if you choose not to loan any money, that's perfectly fine. Don't let anybody, family, friend, or whoever make you feel otherwise.
All right. Well, that's there you go. There's your advice.
It's the Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
Yes, indeed.
This is her first time here.
Finally.
Meg Thee Stallion.
Come on, give Meg some round of applause. That's right. God damn it. Get the energy right in here, God damn it.
AKA Sugar, AKA Tina Snow in the building.
Album is out right now. Now, let's start, for people that don't know, how did Meg Thee Stallion start out as a rapper? How did you get into this rap game?
So, my mom was a rapper, mm-hmm. and, like, every day after school, and when she would get off work, I would see her in her room writing and stuff, and then she would be, like, going to the studio, and I'll be in the little waiting room, mm-hmm. and I'm pretty sure she thought I was in there doing, like, little kid stuff, but I'll be, like, listening at the door, like, oh, okay, yeah, yeah. And I really thought it was normal. I kind of low-key thought everybody mama was doing that. So... Yeah, I didn't know. So, like, I don't know, it was just normal. So I would eventually like start stealing her CDs with like all her instrumentals on there and like start sneaking and writing. And then she'll be like asking like, have you seen my CDs? And I'll be like, no. Mm-hmm. Like, and then like eventually when I graduated from high school, I was like, I can rap. And she was like, no, you can't. And I was like, yeah, I can. She was like, let me hear you. So I started rapping and she was like, oh my God. Like,
you can't rap.
You remember the first verse you spit for?
I really don't remember what I was saying, but I remember I rapped over like the I'm Different beat by 2 Chainz. Okay. And she was like, oh shit. Like, so then ever since then, like, I don't think she still even took me seriously then. So I started going to the studio on my own. And so when she knew I was at the studio by myself and stuff, she was like, oh hell no, I'm gonna manage you. And we doing
this. She
probably
was raw too.
I was exactly how I rap now. Like, I was talking probably a little more crazier back then.
She was with your mom. And she said, you ain't living that life.
I was like, mama, don't be mad. I'm a curse, okay? And she was like, she was like, okay. I don't think she knew exactly how hard I was about to go. And she was like, I don't know where your mouth came from. And only thing my mama ever played for me was like, Pimp C, UGK.
Oh, yes, sir.
There you go.
That's where it came from, mom.
Like, my daddy only played 3-6 Mafia, so I'm like, I don't understand why y'all not figuring out why I'm talking like this. So,
didn't I read somewhere that Pimp C's wife wanted to, she had vocals for you that she wanted to give you? Did you ever do that?
I mean, I got the vocals. I got vocals from her and Juicy J. So, I mean, I was working. I'm still working on my album. Like, I had to hurry up and put together an EP, like, of songs that I just really like that I recorded so far. But, like, stuff like that, I really like to take my time on because I really look up to Pimp C. So, I really wanted to, I want to do the song right.
How long did it take for you to I don't want to say pop, but to actually pop? Because it seems like, on the outside world, it seems like it was fast. It seems like it was a little rumbling and then it was gone.
I feel like I'm still getting there. Like, I don't feel like I'm just like, I don't feel like I've like popped.
How many
like,
platinum singles you got already?
3.
I mean.
No, you got the right attitude.
That's true.
They don't really count until you put out a debut album.
Right.
Yeah.
I feel like I just got a lot more work to do. Like, I like to work. I like to hustle. I don't feel like nothing should just be given to me. Like, I really do want to work for it.
What do you think the shift was? You think it was the Wale song, the pole dancing?
Definitely that was one of the big moments for me. Everybody know, like, I used to do a lot of cyphers. Mm-hmm. That's where stuff started going viral from. And then Wale was like the first, you know, big artist to like reach out to me and say, I wanna do a song with Meg. And my manager at the time called me, he's like, Wale wanna talk to you. I was like, Wale? like Wale?
Do you think he was trying to holler at first or you think it was about
No, me? Like, as soon as I met him, like, I met him in the studio. Mm-hmm. And he just played a bunch of records, and I heard when he played pole dance, I was like, oh, duh, like, I'm gonna do this one. Mm-hmm. So we just been, like, really close ever since.
Why you think Pimp C don't get the proper recognition that he deserves? I saw somebody post the other day. They said, if y'all worried about, you know, if Boosie offend y'all, y'all would have hated Pimp C.
Yeah, he's just very Southern, like, and sometimes people from the South, like, stick to that old Southern way, like, their old Southern mentality. And, like, a lot of the times, I feel like a lot, just Southern rap in general doesn't really get the respect that it deserves.
Even
like,
now?
I mean, even now.
I've been
like,
running for the past 25 years, at least.
They respect the South now.
I feel like a lot of the times, like, people don't get it. Like, I hear when I go different places, they're like, oh, I like your accent, but I can't really hear it. But, like...
But when you're from someplace different, because people will tell me I have an accent, and I'm like, I don't have an accent. Like, if I'm in the South, they'll tell me that.
Definitely you have an accent.
See,
but like,
and I look at you like, Meg definitely has an accent, too.
I feel like people not used to it. Like, the way we... I feel like maybe we talk a little slower. Like, I don't know. I just feel like sometimes people don't really catch the music. Like, of course, like... Juvenile, like Lil Wayne, like I don't know. I just
lyricists.
Feel like
those lyricists, though.
Yeah, but I feel like it's still catching on. Like it's still growing. So
you think that sometimes people misjudge, like looking from the outside with, you know, hot girl and all of that? Because I looked at it and we were trying to have this discussion on just being like somebody about your business as a woman that is independent, taking care of yourself. You go to school, TSU. Shout out to TSU.
Yeah, shout out to TSU.
Because they're so proud of you. But sometimes people think that means you just out here hoeing and thotting, and they think that's what it is.
Being a hot girl, you know, it really started off as me really just letting everybody know what type of summer I was about to have. Like, me just being unapologetic, me just doing what I want to do, not really caring about anybody else's opinion. Like, me just being me, you know, just doing what we want to do as women. Like, we shouldn't be trying to fit into, like, a certain standard that people try to put us in, a certain box people try to put us in. You should just do what makes you happy. Now, when the boys got involved, it was like, oh yeah, y'all on that hot girl shit, y'all think y'all this, and then it turned into like a whole like battle.
Hot girl versus city boy.
Yeah, I was like, whoa. Y'all making this shit something it wasn't.
Duval started that shit.
Yeah, well, they drug it. I was like, damn, like hot girls, like I was seeing. They was like, yeah, real hot girl. I was like,
that's not what it was.
I wondered, what did you do for the fall?
It's hot girl semester.
Oh,
school.
Went back to school.
Yeah, we went back to school.
And how's that going? I seen you studying when you was rehearsing and all that.
I'm taking quizzes every other day, doing homework. Like, I try to get it in when I can.
What's your GPA?
Oh.
Busy.
No, I got maybe a 2.7, 2.8 right now. It could be better.
What's your major?
Health administration.
Do you really want to do that? Like, why are you still in school at this point? Like,
so,
it's got to be a reason.
So, to take it from the beginning, when you go to college, I feel like half the time a lot of people only go into college because that's what their parents told them to do.
Parents made them do it.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that you even go to college knowing exactly what you want to do. Like, that's where I was at with it. My grandmother told me I should go to school to be a nurse. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, well, since my grandma said do it, I guess I'll do it. But I always knew what I really wanted to do. I just hadn't told my family. Mm-hmm. So I went anyway, and I would be sitting in class super bored. Like, I'll be like, oh my God, I don't want to be here. Like, I'm writing raps and shit. Like, I was just like, damn, I don't want to be here, but I don't want to drop out because I don't want to disappoint my family. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, well, what can I do to, like, stay here but actually be interested? So I changed my major to business management. Mm-hmm. And I still didn't like it. I was still bored. I was not interested. So I had left PV and I had got a job, and I was still doing classes online at like HCC. Mm-hmm. Because I didn't want to not be in school completely. I just didn't know what I wanted to do with myself, because I wanted to rap, but I still wasn't, like, I knew my grandmother wouldn't like it.
Right.
So it was something I was hiding from her too. So finally I was like, you know what, I'm gonna just go back to school, but I really need to figure out what I want to do.
That's right.
So I knew that I wanted to be in the health field, but I knew I didn't want to be a doctor. I knew I didn't want to be a nurse. I was like, well, what is it? Like, I just knew I wanted to help. So I told my grandma, like, where I was at with it. Like, I was like, I really want to run some shit. Like, maybe I could be the head of the hospital, I don't know. And she was like, you know what you should look into? Healthcare administration. And TSU had the major. Mm-hmm. So once I started going to TSU, now I'm actually, like, learning, and I'm making A's, and I'm paying attention. Mm-hmm. And then I figured out, you know what? What I'm learning to hear, a lady had came and spoke, and she, like, ran an assisted living facility. So I was like, that sounds like something I would really want to get into. And my grandmother, I watched her take care of my great-grandmother for a long time. And I'm like, no, definitely, this can't be only going on in my family and what I'm saying. So I was like, I want to open up some assisted living facilities.
That's smart. That's entrepreneurship.
That's smart.
So that's what I really want to do now. And since I'm, you know, I've already been going to school for so long, I might as well keep it going.
How many more credits you need to finish?
I think I need maybe, like, Lord. 6 more classes, but I'm taking them like 2 at a time, so that's why it's going slow, because I am.
We got to get the GPA up, though. You know,
we got to get the GPA.
At least a 3.0.
I got to get a 3. Yeah, like, right. I want to be better, and I want to do better, but I'm trying.
You be working.
Yeah. So you're thinking about life after rap.
Yeah.
All
right, we got more with Megan Thee Stallion. When we come back, don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often, those of us who don't fit into this dumb, stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. I'm Abby, a mother of two, and I had these battles myself. Endless excuses, delay tactics, and many tears and tantrums. But I've created a solution. The perfect kids podcast that makes bedtime a dream. It's called Koala Moon, and it's hosted by me, Abby. With over 300 episodes, packed with original stories and sleep meditations, Koala Moon makes bedtimes easy and enjoyable. Episodes start out engaging and really rather magical, but as they progress, they gently slow to a calm and relaxing pace to have your little ones out like a light. Since launching in 2022, Koala Moon has helped with over 20 million nights sleep and received over 6,000 five-star reviews. Win back your evenings. Listen to Koala Moon now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Meg Thee Stallion. Charlamagne?
You celebrated a born day last month. Your born day is on February 15th, right?
Yep.
So does a hot girl expect a Valentine's Day gift and a goddamn birthday
Hell
party?
Hell yeah. I need to get some both gracious. Days.
What if you get a car? You still expect another present or is a that car? A joint gift?
So, okay. So is the car for Valentine's Day or my birthday?
Wow.
It can't
that's
be
great.
A joint one?
A
no,
car?
That
no.
might be a joint gift.
A car can't
you
cover both days?
No. You give a car for birthday and then gas for Valentine's Day.
A gas
Even
card.
If it's gas, like, it's still got to be some type of celebration. Like, I walk in the house and there's flowers all over the place and then it's like the little thing of gas in the middle of the floor. Like, baby, I got you some gas for your car.
There you
I
go.
Think, I got to say, if somebody bought you a Lamborghini truck on Valentine's Day, I don't think they have to get you something.
Well, we can go to dinner the next
okay,
day.
Okay, and you can drive.
I still want it to be a celebration.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, you would be a good side chick, right? I'll tell you what.
Oh,
you could be
goodness.
With your main on Valentine's, but then be with you on Side Chick Appreciation Day, which is the next day. But
wow,
it's also your
it's
birthday.
She went both days.
See, my birthday real public, so like it really wouldn't be like a side chick thing.
I know,
unless
but it would
you
still
be
make
on
you
blast.
Feel special.
I need you on both days.
I could lie to you about my girl.
Mm-mm, don't lie. Don't lie. I'm going to find out.
Goodness
she going to find out. Somebody going to find out.
When did you know that you was about to be out of here? Just as far as achieving the levels that you've achieved. I know there has to be some point when you were like, damn, this really like happening the way that I wanted to. Was there a moment that you were like, damn, look at me, I'm on this tour, or I got this person?
Yeah, when I did my first tour with me in Future, mm-hmm. When I even got the offer, I was like, damn, they know me. They want me to go through with them. So I just felt like, you know, I felt super like lit. I was like, oh wow. Like sometimes I don't, it surprises me who knows me. Mm-hmm. Like, and I think, you know, highly of Meek in Future. So I'm like, oh wow. Like, right. That's crazy that y'all want me to come on tour with y'all.
Did Beyonce know you before all this too? Cause I see y'all in pictures.
I don't know when she found out about me, but I was so happy when I met her. Like, I couldn't believe it. They invited us to their home on New Year's.
The Carters.
The Carters.
What that house look like?
It was crazy. Damn near like a museum. Like, but when Jay had invited me to the house for the party, I told my whole team, I was like, okay, y'all, look, I got a show today, but we got to make sure that I make it to this party on time. Like, I don't want to fuck up. Man. This is my first time meeting Beyonce. I want to do it right. So literally, my stylist brought my, because it was a pajama party too. Mm-hmm. He brought my outfit to my show super late. So the GPS, I remember just looking at the GPS and it said we was going to be there in 7 minutes. It was already damn near 12. I was in the car. I was about to cry. And I was like, you made me miss Beyonce party. I f***ing hate you. Like, we literally ran in their house at 11:59. And then everybody's like, "Ooh!" And I was like, oh my God, we made it. I couldn't believe
it. The Carters had a pajama party for New Year's Eve?
Yeah. But everybody, of course, everybody's pajamas were like super nice.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Y'all in the night? Shock. Like, I don't get invited.
Was it a sleepover?
No, it wasn't a sleepover, but I don't know why I was pajamas. But it was really nice, though. Yeah. But I was so pissed because he brought me like these old fancy-ass pajamas, and right. I didn't even wear the fancy ones.
Hold on, give us a little inside peek of that Illuminati life. Now, who was at this party?
Goodness gracious.
I don't know nothing about the Illuminati. It really be blowing my mind when I see people say that shit, like, oh yeah, she in the Illuminati now. I be like, bitch, I don't even know how to get in that shit. Like,
I gotta do some research on the Illuminati.
Okay, I got to look that up. I don't even think black people can be in the Illuminati.
Yeah, it's disrespectful because people act like they don't believe in God and hard work. And only it only seems like black people do that to each other.
It's like, how can you discredit these people for working all their motherfucking life, and now since they doing so well, they gotta be down with the devil?
That's like, God ain't real.
Yeah.
And you get to see Meg's throwbacks at her freestyling in the cypher, so you can see how long it's been happening and that she was nice back then.
See how she avoided answering who was at that party, though.
She don't want to get back in Illuminati.
You know, I don't like telling nobody business.
Look up the pictures online, right? You can just do that.
Right.
Now, we've seen in the press that, you know, you're trying to get released from your contract. How is that going?
So, actually, I'm not trying to get released from my contract. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to, you know, renegotiate some things in my contract. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And how is that going?
Well, it's going. But, I mean, you know, a lot of things I can't say because it's legal. I got to handle it in court. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, things are public information.
We got the contracts right here.
Yeah.
I didn't want to talk about this just yet because I just met you. So I wanted to, you know. But since we're talking about it.
Right.
Now, 1501 Records, what have they done for the career of Megan Thee Stallion?
So when I first got signed, it was Carl and T. Ferris, and, you know, everybody was super nice, of course. But for whatever reason, me and my mom were just more drawn to T. Ferris. Like, he was just really nice, really supportive. Like, mm-hmm. like anything I asked for, like, T. Ferris would just do it. I record at the studio every day with them. I had shows. I was just coming up. T. Ferris would be there. Carl would pop up from time to time. I'm pretty sure he helped a lot with some radio at the time. And then,
what do you mean, like paying for radio?
I don't know how
that
goes.
Pays for radio? That's illegal,
it happens, Megan.
It's illegal.
I have an honest conversation. I'm a radio personality. I can say that. Whatever.
I mean, I don't really know how it goes, so mm-hmm. I can't really like speak on it. But I just.
Well, you hire somebody to work with whatever it is.
I know he had to do something.
Financially.
You know what I'm saying? Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm not taking that away from him. I'm not saying that he never gave me nothing. Mm-hmm. But then when things start really taking off, it would be me, my mom, and T. Ferris. Mm-hmm. So when we would be on the road, that's the team. When things start picking up even more, I got signed with 300. So I really just didn't see, you know, nobody from 1501 that much.
Do you think things shift when you went to Roc Nation, when Roc Nation started managing you and taking care of your contract?
No. Like, what people don't realize is, I don't put everything on social media. Like, I don't put my problems on social media. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not a person that like to vent online. Like, I just don't care about a lot of people outside opinion. So, like, you would have never knew that we weren't talking even then. Like, it wasn't like, when I see him, I speak, yeah, but it's not like we besties or nothing, you know? Gotcha. Like, me and T. Ferris have a really, really close relationship.
So when you got on Instagram, you had just got to the point where you were really frustrated. And you
yeah, because
like
I had already seen, like, I just never made it a public thing. Like, he had already been talking about me online, but I never, like, responded to it. So I don't think people realized that I was just at a point where I was already frustrated. And then when I found out I couldn't drop any music, I was like, well, I might as well say something now. Y'all ain't letting me drop music, so I might as well tell people why I can't drop it.
Right. Well, I didn't understand that either. Why would they not want you to drop music if they eat off it?
I really don't know. Yeah. I could not tell you what's the thought process.
All right, now keep it locked. We got more with Meg Thee Stallion. When we come back, it's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Meg Thee Stallion. Charlamagne?
Do you think this is a situation where a major company is poaching off the work that a 1501 did to help you get to this point?
No. Like, Roc Nation don't have nothing to do with the problems we was already going through. Mm-hmm. I don't like it. I don't like that, you know, people bring up Jay-Z, like, Jay-Z not worried about them. Like, you saying names that I feel like it's just, you're just trying to draw, like, attention to the situation. Like, facts are public. I don't have to lie. Why would I lie? Like, I feel like people want to bully me. Like, you don't have to gang up on me. Like, I didn't do nothing to y'all, so I really don't understand where it's coming from.
I think a lot of that came from, I think you said in that Roc Nation looked at the contract and told you something.
So when I finally got real lawyers and, like, you know, people around me that knew what they were talking about, it was like, some things in my contract are just unconscionable in the state of Texas. So it's like, well, let's just fix the things that are wrong. So.
So you don't want to be released, you just want to renegotiate.
I just wanted to renegotiate my contract.
Does it look like things are going to move toward that direction? Are you feeling like... Do you feel like if you had a conversation...
I tried to have a conversation.
Because Carl said he hasn't heard from you since August. He's like, I haven't
heard from you. He heard from me before that. Like, we just don't have a relationship. So it's not nothing that's brand new. It's not because of Roc Nation. We just already didn't have a relationship.
Maybe Carl was the money guy, but he wasn't the day-to-day guy. That's what it seems like.
I mean, like I said, like, I know what's being said is not true. Like, all that hundreds of thousands of dollars, like, people not even, you know, putting it out there. Like, we asked for the proof, and you're not even giving us the proof of that. Like, so
I gotta go back and look at some of your old Instagram pictures.
Well, thank God we got an album out today.
Well, so it's not even my album. Like, it's an EP.
It's an EP.
So it's an EP.
So who is Sugar now?
So Sugar is basically just like a girl who is going through it, but she getting through it. It's like me basically letting people know that I'm not perfect. I'm a human. I know I be fucking up, but I be trying. I be getting through it. You know what I'm saying? And I don't like the fact that everybody be trying to seem so perfect. Mm-hmm. Why do you want to be perfect? But obviously, people online, they just are all so amazing, yeah, and nothing's wrong with them, and they never been through in their life. So, I mean, that's more so what I'm talking about.
Isn't it whack, though, that you gotta learn that in real time? Like, you gotta that has to play out in front of the world. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
As you learn those growing pains.
I mean, it's just all a part of being in the light. So I can't complain. I knew what I was getting into. So it's not nothing I'm upset about. It's just, I'm just learning as I go. Now, so when I bump my head, I just be like, okay.
You and the baby make great records with each other.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Are y'all doing an album together? Is that a plan to do a full project?
I don't know if we're going to do a full project, but I know we definitely got some music that's going to come up and some other things I don't want to say yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the baby always says if he could do a collab album with somebody, it'd be you.
I love him. Like, I really think that'll be fire if we actually did it.
Mm-hmm. What type of deal is Megan Thee Stallion looking for? Not necessarily in that situation, but just in general. At this point in your career, what would be fair to Megan Thee Stallion?
I just want it to be fair, and I want it to be, you know, good for everybody. Like, nothing is going to be perfect, but if we can both come to an agreement, like, you gotta give a little to get a little, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I understand that, so I just want everything to be fair.
Do you have a relationship with Jay Prince at all?
No.
So, have you ever met him?
In person, no.
Okay.
Growing up, did you look up to rap a lot in Jay Prince? You had to, right? In youth?
Ooh.
Really?
Like, I didn't. I was young, so I didn't really know anything about it.
Got you.
I'm sure you
know
the songs,
though.
I mean,
if you knew Pimp C and all of them, though.
Like, I only knew the music. Like, I didn't know the backstory. I didn't know the background. I mean, you know, I'm from Houston. You know, you hear things, mm-hmm. but it wasn't. I didn't think it was gonna be anything that I would ever have to deal with.
Right. Well, now let's talk. Can we talk? Oh, I wanted to talk about the song.
Jay accused you of lying this morning on his Instagram. Said you're lying on him in court documents. What is that about?
Like, that's something that I definitely can't talk about. But I don't lie though.
Who helped you negotiate your original deal with 1501? I'm just saying,
yeah, I mean, all of this, I really would like to answer it.
Got you.
So hopefully, you know, next time I come, I will be able to talk about it. But right now, I, you know, it's just in court, like, so I can't say a lot of stuff.
Is this stressful for you right now though?
Well, oh yeah, definitely, because all I want to do is just put out my music. Mm-hmm. And that's all I care about.
So. Well, she got to go, guys. So okay. let's play.
She just got here.
She got to go. I'm telling you what they're telling me.
But a 40% profit share, you think that's good for established artists, for new established artists? You want a little more?
I mean,
everybody wants
40%. It seems pretty good.
I mean, that's good. Like, yeah. that's really not even the highlight of what my problem is. Mm-hmm. So,
but you can't talk about what the problem is.
I can't talk about exactly what it is right now.
But Sugar is out right now.
One more question. I've seen you also being accused of going Hollywood too fast.
By who? The people who going against me right now?
No. I see Isaac Hayes say that a lot on Instagram.
Isaac Hayes?
Yeah, not the singer.
Oh,
his son.
I was like, damn.
I was like, goddamn. Who the Isaac Hayes?
Isaac Hayes?
No, his son says he said he likes you, but he said he thinks you're going to Hollywood too fast.
Well, I don't know him. He don't know me, so he can't say none of that. I guess you just go off what you hear from another guy, and you know you want to run with that. But I don't know that man.
You think LA impacts your music at all?
No.
I say every time I see Meg, she always been really nice to all her fans, her hotties.
Anybody that really know me know how I really am.
As a matter of fact, my goddaughter met you backstage at a show and was so excited. Y'all got cute pictures together and everything. She's 18 years old. You didn't know who she was. And she came, took pictures.
Bothering nobody.
Every time I see you, you always act the same. I know people who I met them early in their career and they act funny later.
Nah, she's always been humble, always been cool.
I don't have no reason to act no different. Like, it don't matter how much money I get. I share it with my whole team. Like, I don't feel like being a bitch is gonna benefit me in any way.
Right. That's real. My grandma always said, manners will take you where money won't.
Yeah, my grandmother like pretty much preached the same thing to me. My grandma always told me to just be positive, like always be kind to people. You never know what people are going through. So that's you right. Just always should be nice.
Well, let's play a joint off the EP. What you wanna hear?
Let's play Captain Hook.
Captain Hook.
Hook. Mm-hmm. What's that about?
It ain't about me.
We like that curve, right, girl?
That's what it's about? All right.
I knew exactly what it was about as soon as I heard it, and I got mad.
You got mad?
And I did.
All right.
So nobody ever makes songs for the average size penis guy.
I have tiny man over there. All right. Thank you for joining
us. Megan, don't be a stranger, goddammit.
I won't. I really had a good time up here.
All right. It's Meg Thee Stallion. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Charlamagne, say the gang, donkey of the day.
Charlamagne.
You are a
donkey. It's time for Donkey of the Day.
Donkey of the Day does not discriminate.
I might not have the song of the day, but I got the donkey of the day.
So if you ever feel I need to be a donkey, man, hit me with the heat.
It's a Breakfast Club, bitches.
Who's Donkey of the Day today?
Well, Donkey of the Day goes to John F. Kennedy Middle School in Connecticut. In particular, a teacher named Bree Quarton. She's the district's health and physical education coordinator and superintendent, Christopher Drizik. I think I'm pronouncing his last name right now. I have extreme love for public school teachers. Drop on the clues bombs for all the public school teachers out there. Because my mother has been a public school teacher in South Carolina for as long as I've been alive. And I understand the impact that public school teachers have on kids. And I know how hard that job is because you have to truly love it. Because it's not like the pay is your incentive. All right, you have to really care for these kids and their well-being. Lesson plans, assignments, all of these things teachers come up with to educate kids. We appreciate you. Drop another clues bomb for teachers, man. Public school teachers. We know it's not easy. And in this era of social media, video games, all types of things, just pulling at these kids' attention, cutting through to these children and creating things that can actually appeal to these kids is tough. So I'm not judging. Okay, but as a parent of a middle schooler, I would be concerned about this lesson plan that came out of JFK Middle School. I'm holding it in my hand right now. Okay, and the title is Pizza and Consent. Okay, basically kids at JFK Middle School in Connecticut were instructed to use pizza as a metaphor for sex and asked to cite their favorite toppings. For example, cheese was for kissing. and olives were forgiving oral. Basically, they compared ordering a pizza to receiving consent. I can't make this kind of stuff up. Listen to Eric Sanzi, director of outreach for parents defending education. She did an interview with ABC 7 KATV to describe the assignment.
The assignment started out with a sentence that said, yes, pizza can be a metaphor for sex. And then it went on to explain that just like when friends have to agree on pizza toppings when they're sharing a pizza, that people need to agree on what they're willing to do and not do in terms of consent. Huh? And so they decided to have the students list their sexual likes and dislikes and then draw them on a pizza as pizza toppings. Now, again, these are eighth graders, and it's important to keep in mind, under 15% of eighth graders have had sex. So they're being asked very personal questions on a topic that many of them are totally inexperienced with and likely uncomfortable talking about in school.
This is middle school. How many toppings do you think I've had on my pizza in middle school? Now, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I enjoy a great conspiracy theory. And Pizzagate was a great conspiracy theory. You remember Pizzagate, don't you? The false allegation that the Clintons used the Comet Ping Pong Pizza restaurant in Washington, D.C. as a front for a pedophile sex ring in the back room was supposedly used for kidnapping and trafficking children. Okay, now, of course, all of this was proven to be false, but it made a lot of noise, all right? The owner of Comet Ping Pong and his staff received death threats. People protested outside of the restaurant. A guy actually went in the restaurant and fired a gun at an employee. See, these fake stories be having real-world consequences, okay? People believe these conspiracy theories, and when you promote these false and reckless conspiracy theories, bad things happen. I'm saying all that to say JFK Middle School in Connecticut has done nothing but contributed to that conspiracy theory. I don't even know if Pizzagate is still a thing, but this right here is going to resurrect it. All right, listen, my daughter is in eighth grade. She's 13. These kids are watching shows like Euphoria. These kids have social media. These kids talk amongst each other. Do you remember when you were 13, 12, 11, whatever age we were in middle school, we was already talking about sex in a real way. So I can only imagine with all the access these kids have now, what their conversations are like. So you don't need stunts like this. Just talk to the kids, okay? Just talk to them, all right? Listen, let me read y'all some of this. This is why they use the metaphor for sex. They say when you order your pizza with friends, everyone checks in about each other's preferences. Some people might be vegan. Some people might be gluten-free. Others might love pineapple, while others prefer pepperoni. Some might not like pizza at all. If you're a vegetarian but your friend is a meat lover, sharing a pizza is going to bring up a lot of issues. You don't know who you can share your pizza with unless you ask. Okay, didn't they say the same goes with sex? No. What are they talking about? The metaphor don't make no sense. The correlation makes no sense. You have to check in with your partners and ask for their preferences. Your partner might be comfortable with one sexual activity but not another. Maybe your partners only want to be touched a certain way. Or maybe your partners prefer to use certain language. Or maybe they don't want to have sex at all. You'll never know your wants, desires, and you'll never know if your wants, desires, and boundaries are compatible with theirs unless you ask. No. I don't want y'all asking my daughter about any of that. And once again, furthermore, how many toppings do you think these kids have had in middle school? Middle school, I would hope these kids are virgins. Okay, just plain cheese pizzas. Matter of fact, no cheese, no tomato sauce, just raw dough. You know, that hasn't even been put in the oven yet. All right? Amanda, who is a parent from that school district, took to social media to express her disgust with the assignment. Let's listen to Amanda.
Just last week, a school assignment in JFK labeled Pizza and Consent was sent out for students. What's pizza got to do with it, you wonder? We can use pizza as a metaphor for sex. Those are the first two lines of this assignment, which is centered around establishing consent and boundaries. Except for page 2, where it takes it one step further and states, now that you know the metaphor for sex, let's explore your preference. Draw and color your favorite type of pizza. Mirror these preferences in relation to sex. Here are some examples. Likes: cheese equals kissing. Dislikes: no. Olives equals giving oral. Since when has it become acceptable for a teacher to ask a student what their sexual wants, desires, and boundaries are? Maybe our board members would like to answer this assignment and share their thoughts, just like our eighth grade students were requested to do.
Now, of course, the school is currently backtracking. Superintendent Christopher Drizik says it was a mistake and the assignment had been inadvertently sent to the students. Basically, they are claiming they sent the pizza to the wrong house. Okay, he said while the assignment was inappropriate, there was no hidden agenda. He said while addressing the parents, there was no secret cabal to indoctrinate kids on something. Let me tell you, man, if, you know, you have to, you know, explain that there's no secret cabal to indoctrinate kids. If a school superintendent has to explain that, all right, then my kids might be in the wrong school. All right. an explanation like that is just, I don't know, man. I just feel like this assignment is prompting kids to become sexually active before their time. And what does pizza have to do with consent? I still don't even know that. All right, choosing what to put on your pizza when you are ordering with a group is hard enough by itself. Now you're trying to make it a metaphor for sex? And even after it's been explained, I still don't know what any of this has to do with consent. All right? Just talk to these kids. They're young adults. Speak to them as such. I promise they can handle it. But pizza as a metaphor for consent, they cannot. And what's the topping for anal? Huh? Please give John F. Kennedy Middle School in Connecticut the biggest hee-haw.
My kids ain't eating pizza no more.
That's what you got out of that? That's what you got out of that?
That's what I got out of that.
That's what you got out of that?
Chicken fingers and french fries all day long.
Jesus Christ.
And what is the topic
for anal? What is the topic for anal? Now, just that, can y'all, I just want to know. I just want to know. I just want to, because they only put two. They put cheese and they put
olives.
Olives. No, olives was oral sex and cheese was kissing. I would like to know what y'all had the topic for anal. Hmm. Probably peppers. Hmm. I would say jalapeno peppers.
Jalapenos? Yeah, no jalapeno brown peppers. Sauce or nothing like that?
I would say jalapeno peppers. Because everybody don't love jalapeno peppers, right? Huh? What's something on a pizza that people don't... pineapple? I would think pineapples. Because everybody doesn't get pineapples on their pizza. You know what I mean? Mushrooms? Nah, everybody likes mushrooms. Everybody don't like it. You know what? Never mind. All right, guys. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for that donkey of the day.
Yes, I don't... Yeah.
Breakfast Club, good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often, those of us who don't fit into this dumb, stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now? Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation. I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. I'm Abby, a mother of two, and I had these battles myself. Endless excuses, delay tactics, and many tears and tantrums. But I've created a solution. The perfect kids podcast that makes bedtime a dream. It's called Koala Moon, and it's hosted by me, Abby. With over 300 episodes, packed with original stories and sleep meditations, Koala Moon makes bedtimes easy and enjoyable. Episodes start out engaging and really rather magical, but as they progress, they gently slow to a calm and relaxing pace to have your little ones out like a light. Since launching in 2022, Koala Moon has helped with over 20 million nights sleep and received over 6,000 five-star reviews. Win back your evenings. Listen to Koala Moon now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's topic time.
Pick up the phone, baby.
Call 800-585-1051 to join into the discussion with The Breakfast Club.
Talk about it.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, if you just joined us, we're talking about
parental paranoia.
Now, this comes from where, Charlamagne?
Well, you know, my last book, you know, Shook One, I got a whole chapter called Parental Paranoia. And I think that, you know, if you're a parent, that's just the anxiety that comes from, you know, just having kids, mm-hmm. right? And after what we saw this past, what was that, Monday? What day was that? Sunday? I can't even remember. What, Tuesday, you know, the shooting at, you know, Robb Elementary School. I know for a fact it's really impacting how I parent. You know, I'm thinking about, you know, pulling my daughter from her field trip that she got coming up, and you know, my oldest daughter, the teenager now, so she wants to do things like, you know, go to the mall and, you know, hang out with her friends in public places. I'm talking about even just hanging out in front of the ice cream parlor, you know, or, right. you know, your younger kids, they want to go to the park, and I'm like, no, we got park at home, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We got mall at home, you know, we got field trip at home, even right. though we have none of this stuff at home, you know what I mean? But I don't know, man. I just want to talk to other parents this morning because I know I can't be alone with this. And I feel bad because you want your child to have those experiences. You want your child to have those experiences with their friends. You want them to have a childhood, basically. And I know you can't protect your kids from everything in the world, but damn it if I won't try. And I know what makes me comfortable as a parent is taking away from experiences that she'll never get again. So it's like, I just emotionally, it just makes me feel bad.
Well, I will say this, with having so many kids, you get a couple of do-overs, right? With my 20-year-old and my 18-year-old, I was very, very protective over them. I didn't let them go out. They weren't allowed to do some of the things that their friends are able to do, whether it was go to the park or go to the mall without me and my wife being there or a family member being there. And I realized when they got a little older, they didn't have as many friends because I didn't allow them to go out as much. Mm-hmm. But now with the younger kids, I'm starting them to let them go out more. But I'm going out with them.
That's so not fair for older kids.
But you know, you see how it affects them.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? And as a kid, you know, I went out. I was at the park. I was playing with my friends. I have so many different friends from different blocks and different areas because I went out. My kids don't have that because I was so protective of them because I didn't want to see them get hurt.
But what you just said is what makes me feel bad because I know I have friends who were the older child who didn't get to do a lot of the things that the parents let Correct. The younger kids do, you know? And it's just like, it's not my fault the circumstances of the world are the way that they are right now. So it makes me feel bad that I'm not letting my oldest daughter do certain things. But then it's like, man, I got to... I gotta protect my family.
You do. All right, but just think about it like this. At what age were you allowed to travel? And not travel as flying, because we couldn't afford it back in the day, but drive to another place, to anything.
Well,
or to go to another city.
My circumstances were a little different. My father was dealing with substance abuse, and, you know, he was wilding. You know what I mean? So I didn't have much parental supervision.
Oh my goodness.
I was a bad kid.
But put it like this. My daughter right now, she's a junior at NYU. She has never traveled anywhere without me. Never gone anywhere. Like, you know how kids go to spring break? They go to Atlanta.
Yeah.
They go see their friends. Never.
Well, see, I used to lie about stuff like that. To your point, I lied and went. I left and went to Black Biker Weekend in Myrtle Beach one weekend when I was in high school and didn't even tell my parents. I just went, had $5 in my pocket, and I just left. Yes, I just had $5 in my pocket, and I went with three of my homeboys. So I was just missing for the weekend. And guess what?
What?
Nobody went looking for me because they knew that little badass boy is that Black Biker Weekend in Myrtle Beach. He'll be back, and I'm going to beat his ass when he get home, guy.
Goodness gracious, I think we should talk to your parents. Jeez, they didn't really love you. We were talking about Yee's parents not taking her to Disney, but jeez.
No, my parents love me.
I was going to ask also Yee, now, I know you got a bunch of guy kids, Yee, and you watch your guy kids. Does this make you feel any way when you got your kids?
I mean, I think it's way different than being a parent, but I had a lot of freedom when I was growing up, so... You know, I look at it a little differently. That's all. My parents definitely let me do what I needed to do and be responsible. You can't control what anybody else does, but you also don't want to be scared to live your life and deprive your kids of, you know, having a good time.
Absolutely.
And being a kid.
Absolutely. Hello, who's this?
Hey, good morning, Nicole.
Hey, Nicole, you got kids?
I do. I have a 4-year-old.
And how does this, you know, with everything that's going on, how does that make you feel as a parent?
So I actually have double paranoia because I have a 4-year-old, but I also work in a school in the Bronx.
Mm. Oh, wow.
So it does give me...
It should be triple with the Bronx.
You know, the extra paranoia. Yeah, well, so that's my point, is that you have so many things to worry about that I just kind of try not to live in fear because you can't go to a grocery store or a movie theater. Realistically, you can't keep your kids in the house. So just trying to... push through that and understand and teach them different things.
What you just said,
that we still have to go in the world. Mm-hmm.
What you said about not living in fear is it messes with me on a spiritual level too, because we know we're supposed to walk by faith, right? Like, we're supposed to believe right. in a higher power. But in my mind, I feel like, you know, God is the one telling me, like, hey, shut all of this down. You know, nope, let her stay home. And it's confusing. Mm-hmm. Like, it's confusing, because I know,
yeah.
It's just confusing.
It is. Thank you, Mama.
I used to hate when my mom used to be like, I have a feeling you shouldn't go out. I just got a bad feeling. And I used to be like, oh, my God, now I can't go out because you had a feeling?
I be trusting them feelings from the elders, though. When a Black woman tell you, you might need to sit your ass down, you probably need to sit your ass down. If I think about all the times my grandma... Mama said that to me, and I still went out, and I wonder why I got in so much trouble when I was younger.
Right.
I should have listened.
Her way of saying no was, ask your father.
That's what my wife does, too. She'd be like, ask your dad. They know my answer could be no. We won't go where? How long? How far is that?
With Lord who? Have mercy.
Nah, we not going. Nah, we not doing it.
You got more calls?
Yeah. No, we'll take some more when we come back. 800-585-1051. We're asking all the parents out there, you know, with everything going on.
Is this impacting how you parent, man? Is your parental paranoia, the anxiety that comes with being a parent, through the roof right now?
It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Call me.
Lend your opinion to the Breakfast Club top.
Come on.
800-585-1051.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, if you just joined us, we're talking about, to all the parents out there, you know, with everything going on in this world, the mass shootings. I seen a second grader, they found a gun in his desk yesterday. With everything going on, does this affect the way that you parent?
Because, I mean, listen, we all already suffer from parental paranoia. I wrote a whole chapter about this in my last book, Shook One. And when you see these situations like what happened at Robb Elementary School, it brings back all the memories of, you know, Sandy Hook and anything. And it's not even just Robb Elementary. It's like what happened at the grocery store. It's what happened at the grocery store in Buffalo, the church in California. Like, these things are happening so much now. And I feel bad because you want your child to have these experiences. You don't want to deprive them of just, you know, living their life. But then you want to protect them as well. And you feel like protecting them. It's keeping them at home. Like, don't go anywhere unnecessary.
Correct.
That's how I be feeling.
All right. Well, let's go to the phone lines. Hello, who's this?
DJ Envy, this is Cryptic. What's up?
What's up, bro? You got kids, bro?
Yeah, man. I got a daughter. She's 9 years old. First off, Yee,
Morris Chestnut was good, man.
Peace, go King. On. Thank you for acknowledging. Who's that? Thank you for acknowledging my attractiveness.
No problem, man. Yeah, man. Yo, first off, it's a tragedy. Anytime, you know, a parent has to pay their kids.
Absolutely.
That's facts. You know, it's horrible. But I got a 9-year-old daughter. Parental paranoia is a real thing, man. You know, I'm with you when it comes to keeping your kids at home, when it comes to homeschooling. But, you know, socially, they're going to be growing up awkward. That's how I feel, you know. They're not going to be able to have a proper conversation with people. They're going to be sexuals, but I don't feel like they'll have what they need to be a part of society either, right?
Hey, listen, I agree with you, and that's what makes it so difficult. But you know, man, especially when you got girls, you see all this stuff about human trafficking and all of this other stuff. So it's not even just the things like the violence, the shootings. It's, you know, you hear those stories about the girls getting kidnapped at Dallas Mavericks games. You're like, man, what the hell?
But not only that, bullying is so much going on, and I don't think there's nobody for these kids to talk to. There's nobody to protect these kids. So I feel like as a parent, you got to be there majority of the time to protect them. Hello, who's this?
I just want to say, kids are getting a lot of trouble at home, too. Just to put that out there.
Hello?
Nah, not like the outside world. My kids don't get that much trouble. Nah, but I monitor my kids. I can control them. I know what my kids are online doing.
I ain't worried about no homeschool shooting. Yeah. There ain't no homeschool shooting happening.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, this is Cherise from Indianapolis.
Hey, Cherise. You got kids, Cherise?
I do. I have a 10-year-old, and he has autism. Mm. So this topic, I had to call you guys. Because I'm a registered nurse, and I get up every day, and I talk about mental health awareness, because this is Mental Health Awareness Month.
Yep.
And I think we need to focus more on that. And thank you, Charlamagne, for all the work that you are doing with mental health.
Thank you, Queen.
Thank you guys, too, and Angela Yee and DJ Envy, because you do a lot for the community. But anyway, I just wanted to say that we have to start talking more about mental health, because this is where these type of episodes are stemming from. We're not focusing enough on mental health awareness.
I agree with you, because it's a lot of hurt people hurting people, you know, and that's why I always say we rely on each other as humans to protect each other every day just based on our behavior, man. So I agree with you.
Hello, who's this?
Anessa.
Hey, Anessa. You got kids, Anessa?
Yes, I have two girls, two daughters.
What's your thoughts, man? I know parenting got to be crazy right now.
Yeah, the parental anxiety I have when I go out anywhere with my kids, even when I'm not with them, but when we go to restaurants, I'm sitting making sure that I'm facing doors. We go to grocery stores. I'm thinking about what's our exit plan if something happens. It's outrageous.
Man.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? I'll be honest, though. This makes me feel better because I know I'm not alone. Even though I know parental paranoia is real and it's got to be heightened right now for everybody.
All right. Well, all right. We got rumors on the way, Yee.
And by the way, there is no moral to this story. Mm-mm. After I go to therapy tomorrow and talk to my therapist about this, maybe I'll have something for y'all next week. But, you know, parental paranoia is real because my therapist always tells me in regards to any anxiety, think about all the times you thought something was going to go wrong, but it didn't. It's very hard to feel like that now. I can't just say, well, you know, yeah, she's right. All the times I thought about something going wrong, it didn't go wrong. But man, when you see all these things going wrong and all of these places that we frequent on the regular, from grocery stores to schools, it's like, come on, bro.
Yeah, but you know what, too? And this is, I know we're rapping. I don't just have it for myself. I have it for other people's kids, too.
Absolutely.
Like yesterday, I seen this young parent. He was playing, not even a young parent, like an older brother. He was walking his kid. And I told him, look, you should be on the other side or the sidewalk. Like, walk closer to the street.
That's
your
right.
Kid shouldn't be walking close to the street.
That's right.
Your baby brother should walk closer to the street. Even when I'm in the airport.
That's right.
And I see a parent talking on the phone and not watching their kid, and their kid's about to hit their head. And I know I should mind my own business, but I don't want to see no child hurt. Child grab.
And like when you hear stories like, oh, the 15-year-old girl got, you know, kidnapped from the Dallas Mavericks game. When you hear the young girl got shot in the Bronx, like, if you're a parent, you automatically see your child in that situation.
Absolutely.
So that's what you're doing. You're looking and you're like, yo, damn, I want him to protect his child the way I would protect mine. And that's how we should always be. That's how you protect. That's how a village protects each other.
This is The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, Charlamagne, you got a positive note?
I do. Listen, the positive note is simply this. If we don't change, we don't grow. If we don't grow, we aren't really living.
Breakfast Club, bitches!
Y'all finished or y'all done?
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Join late-night legend Jon Stewart and the best news team for today's biggest headlines, exclusive extended interviews, and more. Now this is a second term we can all get behind. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.